Wrestling Radio. LockerRoomHQ.com. You press your lock up against his body. Now you're stuck, but you're lying down and dirty. You don't care where you're going. Anywhere is better than I'm going. Anywhere is better. Anywhere is better. Anywhere is better than. Anywhere is better than here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrestling Radio on Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. And as always, I'm your host, Dirt. Today, we're talking about the three-hour Monday Night Raw. And of course, we've got TNA Impact. And of course, we have the Supplemental Draft, which, as I am recording this, the Supplemental Draft is still going on. I kept kind of waiting and waiting and waiting, hoping it would finish up. It's been almost 2 hours, and it's still going. So I have no idea how many supplemental draft picks there are going to be. As far as I know, they might end up switching the entire rosters of both shows. Who knows? But we'll cover the draft picks as they are, and then after we do our show recaps, I'll keep an eye, see if there are any updates, any changes to the drafts. But I think we're going to start with Impact first, then move over to Raw, and then talk about the supplemental draft. Whatever. I don't know. I just kind of do the show as I go along, not paying any attention to anything, doing whatever. One big thing to talk about, though, is we have an update on Batista. As I mentioned yesterday, his contract was coming to an end, and most people expected that this Sunday's pay-per-view may have been his last appearance. Well, as it turns out, he has signed. I don't know if this is an extension that he has signed through or if this was the original deal all along, and I jumped the gun, maybe I was a month early when I was looking into it, but talked to some people, got an update, and basically Batista is going to be with WWE through the next pay-per-view, the Over the Limit, Running the Limit, On the Limit, Limits Wild, I forget, whatever that their new pay-per-view is, on the 23rd of May. 23rd of May is technically Batista's last day. And it is entirely possible that they may do something with Batista. They've done this with a lot of other guys before in the past where their contract is up and technically they should be gone and everybody writes them off and they end up signing a brief extension for 1 week or 2 weeks in order to add some sort of angle before they leave. So as of right now, though, Batista's last day is that Over the Limit pay-per-view May 23rd. So, some news there to keep in mind. Let's talk about the draft real quick. Just the big names, of course. Last night on Raw, we had two SmackDown. Kelly Kelly, Big Show, Kofi Kingston, and Christian. So, those four are moving to SmackDown. Leaving SmackDown, coming to Raw, we got John Morrison, R-Truth, Edge, and Chris Jericho. Looking at that real quickly, you can see SmackDown is really kind of getting hosed here. Sure, SmackDown is getting guys, Kofi Kingston, Christian, they can work okay. I mean, most people like Christian, even though he's not treated as any sort of big deal as he probably should be. But for the most part, the big names, Edge and Jericho, are both going to Monday Night Raw. That's a pretty big deal, because that's quite a bit that is leaving SmackDown suddenly as part of this draft. And if we want to take a look at the supplemental draft, here are the 10 draft picks that are up as of right now. Going to Raw, we got the Great Khali, Natalya, Ezekiel Jackson, Goldust, JTG, and the Hart Dynasty. So it looks like the Hart Dynasty and Natalya will be staying together after all. Now, one thing to note is shortly after JTG was drafted, probably about 10, 15 minutes after they announced it, they popped back on and they said, he has not been drafted after all, or we don't think he's been drafted. There's no general manager on Raw. We're not sure exactly what the deal is. And that was kind of it. So at this point, he was drafted to Raw, and then he was undrafted to Raw. So we'll just have to wait and see how that ends up playing out. Going from Raw to SmackDown, Chavo Guerrero, Cody Rhodes, Chris Masters, Hornswoggle, and Rosa Mendez. Yeah, so you can see that this lineup... last night they moved Jericho and Edge, and those are some pretty big moves. Those two guys leaving SmackDown, going to Raw, was pretty big for those guys. Beyond that, it's just basically the same mid-card guys you'd expect to get kind of shuffled around. Hart Dynasty being moved isn't that big of a deal because as the Unified Tag Champs, they can be on both shows. So that's kind of a non-issue. What the deal is with JTG being drafted and then not drafted, I don't know if that was a mistake or if there's a storyline that was supposed to be growing out of that. We'll have to wait and see. But those are the updates as of right now for what's going on with the draft. So, you know, if you're expecting something big and, you know, you're expecting some sort of major, you know, revelation on what the future of the shows are. Well, your revelation is SmackDown is basically getting buried, and they really don't have a whole lot of faith in it, and it wouldn't be surprising if in a year or so, SmackDown may just disappear altogether. We'll have to wait and see, but does not look good for SmackDown right now. All right, let's go ahead and start with TNA Impact. We'll talk about TNA, then we'll come back, talk about Raw, and we'll check to see if there are any more updates on the supplemental draft. We'll go ahead and take a break right now, and we'll be back to talk TNA Impact in just a minute. Check out www.lockerroomhq.com for the rest of our exciting podcasts about sports talk and pro wrestling. And don't forget the rest of www.popculturenetwork.com for everything else from toys to comic books and video games and everything else you love. It's www.popculturenetwork.com.
My name is Sween Hollick, and if you're into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, have I got a column for you. Go over to PopCultureNetwork.com and take a look at Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, where each and every week we meander down memory lane as I review classic figures from the original Playmates Ninja Turtle toy line. Whether you're a longtime follower of the Fab Four or just getting into the Green Teens, I don't think you'll be disappointed. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you can only find it at PopCultureNetwork.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about TNA Impact. Now, to be fair, last week's show I really, 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 really enjoyed. And so, of course, this show did not live up to how great last week's show was. However, I would say, on the whole, it was a much better show than I've come to expect from TNA. Pretty good show in general, and I was pretty happy with it. I will expect the ratings on this to be abysmal. Basically because TNA ratings have a tendency to be high during the first hour, which is unopposed, and then drop during the second hour, which is against Raw. However, last night, because of the three-hour draft, I would assume that a lot of those people didn't watch the first hour of TNA and then switch over to Raw. They were just watching Raw. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but that's pretty much what I'm expecting the outcome to be. However, for those of you who, you know, watch the show, or maybe if you DVR'd it, if you have DVR'd Impact and haven't watched it yet, it's worth checking out. You're going to want to sit down and actually check that show out. So anyway, show opened with Hulk Hogan coming out, talking about Rob Van Dam being Mr. Monday Night, talked about the new ranking system. brought out Van Damme. Van Damme came down and made some references to marijuana, made some references to being the best. He said he's, you know, no longer Mr. Monday Night. He is Mr. TNA. And so Hulk Hogan introduced him a second time as Mr. TNA. Out came AJ Styles. Out came Ric Flair. Crowd started chanting ex-world champ at AJ Styles. He started getting mad. He basically talked about, you know, he wanted his rematch. He doesn't want to be in a tag team match tonight, which they had booked. He, you know, actually wants his rematch to get his title. Ric Flair ran down Abyss, talking about how Abyss wearing the Hall of Fame ring belittles the Hall of Fame, belittles him and his career. He's sick and tired of seeing that happen, so he wants to face him tonight, put his ring on the line versus Abyss's ring. He'd rather be walking around with two Hall of Fame rings than to see Abyss walking around with one. Cut to the beautiful people in back, Madison Rayne talking about how she is in a triple threat match tonight against Angelina Love and Tara in a three-way. They made a lot of jokes. Lacey Von Erich, of course, is stupid, thought everything was some sort of a sexual reference. Whatever. Go out for the match, Madison Rayne against Angelina Love and Tara. At one point, Tara gets knocked to the outside, and she basically lays outside for a couple minutes, so no big deal coming from her. Match went about 8 minutes. It was, you know, a good length. Honestly, it could have been a lot shorter, because two out of these three can't wrestle, and Tara has really been uninspired, it seems like, ever since she's gone to TNA. So, anyway, they had Tara give Angelina Love the spider web, dropped her to the mat, waited for her to get back up, and as she was sitting there waiting, Madison Rayne ran in, shoved Angelina Love into Tara. Tara fell to the outside. Madison Rayne pinned Love with the schoolboy, or schoolgirl, I guess, and got the win. So she retains her title. Good for her. They showed Angelina Love and Tara fighting after the match. They called out security, had them, you know, tear people apart and basically do that kind of big deal. So I guess, you know, you have to feed these feuds somehow. You got to make things happen and keep things going. But the feud here is between Angelina Love and Tara. Madison Rayne is your title holder. I understand that there's some animosity between these characters as far as it goes, but shouldn't both of them instead have their focus on the one who has the title instead of each other? You know, it just kind of... Anyway, next up they had Shannon Moore come out. He was facing Kazarian for the X Division title. This was not even a 5 minute match. Again, this was, you know, they stripped Douglas Williams of his title because he was stuck in Europe and couldn't make it back to the United States for the taping last week because of an act of God. So they just said, you know, they had to strip him of the title because they had to put a title defense on the pay-per-view. Because this was filmed last Tuesday, there's still no title. So Kazarian is your X Division champion. He's got no belt. He wrestles not even 5 minutes against Shannon Moore. Bunch of spots. It didn't tell a story. You know, there was nothing really big about it. The only thing was that Matt Morgan, the tag team champion who has both belts, came down and he attacked Shannon Moore because, of course, he had asked Shannon Moore to be his tag team partner last week, and Shannon Moore, turned his back on him. And so, Kazarian just acted like he didn't see Matt Morgan out there attacking Shannon Moore. So instead, he, threw Shannon Moore back in and just got him, hit him with whatever that move is, the... I can't think of what it's called. Emerald Flow something. Anyway, hit him with that, got the pin, and then Matt Morgan just kind of sulked off. So as Kazarian is sitting there celebrating the fact that he's a champion with no belt, out comes Samoa Joe, and Samoa Joe just kind of walks down to the ring, looks at Kazarian, beats him up, hits him with the Muscle Buster, and walks away. So, you've got a champion who's not a champion, who has a belt but doesn't have the belt, who wins the match without really winning the match, and then gets beaten up for no reason afterwards by a guy who's been gone for 2 months because he was kidnapped, and then mysteriously returned with no explanation. I mean, this is the type of stuff that really drives people like me crazy when we're watching these shows, because where it's... They had advertised the X Division title match on the pay-per-view. Douglas Williams couldn't come because God or Mother Nature or whoever you want to point to caused a volcano to explode. The rumbling, the earth's crust farted. Lava came out. It made smoke. Douglas Williams could not leave Europe to come to the pay-per-view, so they stripped him of the title, but didn't have any backup title. I mean, they could have just as easily bought one of those replica belts. They're like $300. These people are spending $35,000 a night or something outrageous to have Hulk Hogan there, and they're not going to go out and spend like $319 and overnight FedEx to have one of those replica belts sent to Universal Studios. I mean, if it was that big of a deal, it just drives me crazy. I don't know what to say. This would be the point that if we did more commercial breaks, I'd play more commercials here, play a song or something. I need more songs. You guys, I need you to dig up more. See if Poodle Face has done another Ric Flair song or something. I need to just drop more music in here in the middle of the place when I'm frustrated about this kind of stuff. They had Abyss backstage talking about the Hall of Fame ring Hogan gave him, said it made him feel like more of a man, made him feel more powerful, made him feel like he was worth something. I should note that a lot of these backstage segments with these guys in the locker room were filmed very much like the TNA, what was it called, Reaction, the show a couple weeks ago, really good show, kind of talked about, it was a backstage kind of worked shoot documentary. You know, it was actually very interesting, came across, you know, really well, and I enjoyed it. And it worked tonight in some places it didn't. But it was filmed in a different style, and it looked more, I don't know, more film-like, I guess. Regardless, though, it worked here. Then they cut to a regular backstage segment, not using this style. It was Matt Morgan talking to Jesse Neal, asking him to join in the tag team match against Team 3D. And Neal didn't want to do it, but Matt Morgan kept pushing the fact that he could be a tag champion, so he considered it. We then had our tag match of Sting and AJ Styles against Jeff Hardy and Jeff Jarrett. It was a Falls Count Anywhere match. It went maybe about 6.5 minutes. They had two referees out there. You know, you've got a Falls Count Anywhere tag match, but for some reason it was not tornado tag. You did have to tag the other guy in. They had referees breaking up interference and, you know, making sure that they checked to make sure that there was a tag. You know, it was just, if you're going to do something like a Falls Count Anywhere in a tag match, it's got to be tornado style. Just have all the guys beating up on each other, because you can't say, well, you know, they can go outside and they can fight anywhere and beat each other up and not get counted out and throw each other into foreign objects and whatever, but no double teaming. That would be wrong. Basically, what happened is Sting at one point just basically got mad and he just started to leave and walked off. So Jeff Jarrett chased him. They were up in the rafters. They were fighting around up there. And while at the same time down at the bottom, AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, they had set up a table. They had set up a ladder. And Jeff Hardy was on top of the ladder getting ready to do a swanton onto AJ Styles when Sting hit Jarrett with the baseball bat and got the pin. So therefore, Jeff Hardy did not do his big spot that they teased here and Sting and AJ Styles got the win. They cut backstage to Jesse Neal talking to Team 3D, and again, it was filmed in that different style, but it was also filmed like voyeuristic, like through a window, almost like, you know, the camera was hiding. Jesse Neal basically said, Morgan made him this offer. He wants to, he wants to take him up on it and be in the tag team match against Team 3D. And they, at first they kind of laughed at him, but then they said, well, that's how we trained you, to just bring it, do whatever. Do whatever you think it's going to take, because there's no way you can beat us, and blah, 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 blah. Next up, they had the Pope come down to the ring with an eye patch on, cut basically this awesome, awesome promo about how AJ Styles had tried to blind him, had stuck a pin in his eye, said he is the Pope, and the Pope has his gospel, and the gospel is a tooth for a tooth and an eye for a... And he just kind of paused, and of course the crowd picked up on it for an eye. Anderson came out. He killed everything. There was momentum, there was heat. Anderson came out, he made this stupid joke about drinking the Kool-Aid, Jonestown, whatever. The Pope called him Kennedy, called him Mr. Kennedy, and they bleeped it out. Because at first you're like, wait a minute, did he just swear? And then they played it back. No, he just called him the wrong character name. He said, even though his arm was broken, his pimp hand is still working fine, and he slapped him across the face with the back of his hand. So Anderson attacked him, ripped off the eye patch, stuck his thumb right into his eye socket. Security pulled him apart, and we are going to have the Pope versus Mr. Anderson at Sacrifice. Let's see. Team 3D's music hit, but they didn't come out. They kind of waited. They went backstage, and you saw Team 3D standing over X-Pac, Six-Pac, worthless. And he was laying through a broken table with a pool of blood around his head, knocked out. Team 3D told him that, the band needs to stay out of Team 3D's business and blah, 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 blah. They ran down to the ring. Matt Morgan and Jesse Neal came down to fight them in the tag match. They went about a minute, and the band came out. Kevin Nash, Scott Hall started walking down to the ring. So Team 3D, Jesse Neal, attacked the band. Matt Morgan attacked Jesse Neal, hit a choke slam, but it was a DQ, so nobody won. They go to commercial, they come back, they had Jesse Neal challenging Matt Morgan to come back down in the ring and have a match one-on-one. Chrissy Hemme talked to Matt Morgan backstage. He just basically said he wasn't going to have anything to do with him, whatever. Hulk Hogan basically come in and said, you either face Jesse Neal or you face me. So he said he would go face Jesse Neal. So he walks out to the ring and Jesse Neal hits him with a low blow. Morgan is about to hit him with the tag team belt, but instead he hits him with his own low blow. And so Team 3D just kind of fades off into the night, and Jesse Neal gets hit by the belt. Shannon Moore does a run-in, and this whole mess of a segment was basically to set up Matt Morgan versus Jesse Neal and Shannon Moore, and I guess he'll have some random partner of his choosing. They went backstage, and they had Eric Bischoff and his new hot secretary, Lex Luthor's henchwoman, Miss Tessmacher. And he tried to explain the new ranking system. He said it was going to be some revolutionary new system. And basically what he said is, if you go to TNA.com and you can vote on who you think the number one contender should be, and they'll basically take it under advisement and pick their number one contender. So it's kind of a fan ballot, which they will pay absolutely no attention to if they don't want to. That's their revolutionary new system. And then, of course, Black Machismo came in and said number one guy should be Andre the Giant, Coco Beware, and Red Rooster. So, yeah, that was another exciting, exciting, wonderful moment on TNA Impact. You know, maybe I shouldn't have been so quick to say that this episode was all right. Nah, it was fine. Anyway, okay, so up next.
berries and cream, berries and cream. I'm a little lad who loves berries and cream.
Orlando Jordan came out to talk about how he is an artist and he needs color in his life and he needs whatever. And next week he's starting his own show. He's calling it The Ozone. And he said Rob Terry, the genetic freak, will be his first guest. So I'm guessing they will have Orlando Jordan make a pass at him. And Rob Terry will beat the crap out of him. And it will lead to a match at Sacrifice because, again, gay people are creepy. And they deserve to be punched in the face. And, you know, I'm fine with that. They cut to another one of those segments backstage. And I said, you know, earlier when I was talking about these filmed segments that they really worked, they were interesting, they neat, except for one instance. And this is the one instance. They had Ric Flair sitting backstage. They subtitled his promo here. He was basically talking very low, like he's just sitting in a room talking to somebody, you know, just not really cutting a promo, but just talking. And he was lit by fluorescent light, and he looked like he was 900 years old. And he said that Abyss, having the Hall of Fame ring, insults everything he's ever done over 38 years in the business. He's coming out of retirement. He doesn't want to do it. He wanted to be true to his retirement, but he's going to come out, and he's going to take on Abyss because Abyss... you know, Abyss is wearing the ring, Hall of Fame ring, that means something to him. And, you know, when Ric Flair got his ring, it was in front of 18,000 people at a Hall of Fame ceremony. And that was it. I mean, that was the whole promo. And it came across really as not a heel promo, as a face promo. Again, it made Ric Flair look like he was 108 years old, and it didn't add intensity to the match. It added some weight to the match, but it added weight to the match with you on the side of Ric Flair. So, it didn't really work there, but go to commercial, come back. They had Scott Hall and Poodle Hair Nash. They were approached by a camera woman who basically asked, you know, what they were going to do now, what they were going to do about Waltman. You know, is there going to be another third person, basically? And they said, yes, there would be a third person, but they didn't say who it was. And, you know, they never acknowledged who the camera person was or anything like this. So I don't know if it was supposed to be Christy Hemme or if it was supposed to be somebody new. It didn't really sound like her, but, I mean, who knows? But so I guess there's going to be a new person in the band. You know, I don't know. Is Sting suddenly going to become Wolfpack again and join in with them? Who knows? But anyway, that's your tease for next week to see who it is. So we had Abyss versus Ric Flair. It went about 5.5 minutes, and the crowd was into it. The crowd was really excited for it. It was a little too short, though. It came across as a standard Ric Flair TV match. You know, those matches he used to have all the time where, you know, he comes out, he does his set of moves, and he leaves. You know, it was... I don't want to say that a Ric Flair match was bad by any means, but he didn't put anything special. And for him, being this as his coming out of retirement to wrestle a solo match on TV, for this hot angle that people seem to care about, and they did it with, you know, 2 hours worth of build for a 6-minute match on free TV, you know. Yeah, there was just something really lacking here. But basically, they had Ric Flair pull out a set of brass knucks and hit Abyss with it when the referee wasn't watching. So then, of course, he goes to raise Ric Flair's hand, and the brass knucks fall to the ground. And the referee restarts the match, rings the bell. And so Abyss grabs Ric Flair, hits him with the black hole slam, gets the pin. So Hulk Hogan comes out to rip Ric Flair's ring off his finger. He grabs a microphone, and he says... next week, there's someone special there he's going to give Ric Flair's ring to. And that's the end of the show. Now, not being blown away by this show compared to the show we had last week, this show came across much more like your average episode of Raw. And if your average episode of Raw is okay, then your average episode of Raw on TNA is pretty good. And so, you know, by that regards, if you're willing to put up with the random junk that happens on a Raw show every week, then you'll be perfectly fine with this episode of Impact. All right. We will take a break here so that I can get a drink and refresh a little bit, and then we'll be back to talk about the Monday Night Draft on Raw and the Supplemental Draft, which has just ended. And we'll cover that here in a little bit, too. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Check out LockerRoomHQ.com for more podcasts about mixed martial arts and pro wrestling. That's LockerRoomHQ.com, part of the Pop Culture Network. Check out the Pop Culture Network store, where every purchase you make helps to keep us on the air. That's www.popculturenetwork.com. All right, guys, now we're going to talk about Monday Night Raw and the big draft. And, of course, one of the great things about the show tonight was that usually when they do one of these three-hour shows, they have 90 million little five-minute matches because all the different people from all the different brands are going to be there, and they want to throw a bunch of guys on TV and have all these matches that count for draft picks so they can shuffle things around. And amazingly enough, they decided to do the opposite. They had a handful of matches. They all went pretty long. They were all pretty good, and they only did a handful, really, of draft picks. And so, in the end, the show, for a three-hour show, it really felt more like a more eventful two-hour show. It didn't really feel like it went on as long as normal because you didn't have all these milestones along the way. Oh, another match ended. Oh, another match ended. So, all in all, I think it was really good. They, let's see here. They opened up with Miz and Big Show. The two of them came out to talk about how they were so great as being unified tag teams. They said Bret Hart had to come out and declare them the best of all time. So Bret Hart came out and did that, said he was willing to say that they were the best of all time, but he needed to point out the fact that actions speak louder than words. And so therefore, he wanted to point out that the Hart Dynasty does get a match against them tonight. And so they had a fun little match here. Tyson Kidd did a good job of bumping around, being thrown around, taking a lot of heat. Smith did his big stalling suplex. Everything, you know, came across really good between all these guys. But basically what happened is Hart Dynasty hit the heart attack. Tyson Kidd hit the sharpshooter on Miz. Miz tapped out. Crowd exploded. Hart Dynasty took the belts to celebrate. They left. Big Show got mad at Miz and punched him in the face, did his knockout punch, which is, you know, his finishing move is hitting that big knockout punch. But this looked brutal. I mean, he punched him in the face, and he punched him pretty good. It looked pretty legitimate, and it was a little scary, actually, which I loved because screw you, Miz. And so, you know, I really enjoyed watching that because that came across really well. They had Jack Swagger backstage. He was talking about how he had dominated Randy Orton in Extreme Rules. He cut off the Viper's head. Edge came in and just basically said that he had beaten Jericho, so he figures he's next in line for a shot at Swagger's title. Jack Swagger didn't like Edge coming in there. We went back to the ring. We got Michelle McCool and Layla versus Maryse and Eve Torres, and this was for the first draft pick of the night. It's for a Diva draft pick. It was not good. It was luckily over pretty quickly. Basically, they had, let's see, Michelle McCool got the pin on Eve, so SmackDown gets the first draft pick of the night, the Diva draft pick, and they draft Kelly Kelly. And so, of course, Matt Stryker is beside himself, just in love with the fact that Kelly Kelly is coming to SmackDown. And, of course, Jerry Lawler is beside himself, upset that his quote-unquote favorite diva is going to be leaving and going to SmackDown. Let's see here. They had Evan Bourne come out. Turns out he's facing CM Punk. This was for another draft pick. Evan Bourne actually looked pretty good here with CM Punk. The two of them had a fun little match. I fully expected Evan Bourne to be drafted after this to SmackDown and then have CM Punk attack him again, which would lead to a continuing feud, but that did not happen. Instead, they had CM Punk did beat Evan Bourne because the masked man, again, jumped out from the crowd and made the attack. So the commentary team said, well, is that the same guy or could it be more than one guy? Maybe they have a whole brood of Straight Edge Society guys doing run-ins. You'll never know. But anyway, he made his attack. So CM Punk won, and SmackDown ended up getting Big Show as their draft pick to SmackDown. Let's see here. They went to, I believe they went to commercial. They came back. Teddy Long was backstage and he wanted to welcome Big Show to SmackDown. And Big Show kind of stared at him. And Teddy Long asked if there's anything he could do for Big Show. And Big Show stared at him. And Teddy Long started to get nervous. And Big Show just kind of laughed and smiled and gave Teddy a hug and walked off. And Teddy Long did his little, Gary Coleman dance to celebrate. Next up, they had Sheamus come out. And Sheamus talked about how the good news was Triple H will not be drafted. He cannot be a draft pick. Of course, the bad news is that he has destroyed Triple H's career and Triple H will never wrestle again. He said he's taken Triple H out and now he wants the WWE title back. Randy Orton came out and he said he was the one who had fought Triple H the most. He had done terrible things to Triple H. He had done terrible things to Triple H's family. But he did it face-to-face, not with using a weapon. And so he basically said that he should be next in line for the title because he was the better man of the two. Sheamus, of course, pointed out that Orton had lost in his title shot opportunity. So the two of them went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth until Cena came out, saved the day, did a promo basically calling out the guest general manager for the night, and nobody came out. So he called for him again, and they didn't come out. Called for him again, did not come out. So he grabbed the cell phone out of his shorts, and he said, by the way, this is why I wrestle in jean shorts, so he could have his phone. And so he talked on his phone for a minute on this fake phone call and then pointed out to them that there is no guest host this week. And so it's up to the champion to pick his number one contender. And so, therefore, it was going to be Sheamus versus Randy Orton for the number one contender spot. And then Cena smiled, and everybody cheered, and he left. Next up, they did a battle royal, 10-man battle royal, Raw versus SmackDown. They said this was for three draft picks. They had Rey Mysterio, R-Truth, Kane, Drew McIntyre, and Shad Gaspard versus Ted DiBiase, Mark Henry, MVP, Yoshitatsu, and Santino. So the two teams came out. They picked their team captain. Santino wanted to be his team captain. And Rey Mysterio was going to be team captain on the other side. So he looked at Rey and he laughed and he turned around to the guys. And Rey stepped aside and Kane took his place. So Santino turned back around and found himself looking at Kane instead of Rey Mysterio. And boom, came through a punch. The Battle Royal started. It was every Battle Royal you've ever seen in your life. Which, again, fine, no big deal, fun to watch. Battle Royals are usually, you know, they're kind of throwaway matches, but they can be interesting and kind of fun, depending on who's in it. So Santino got dumped basically down into the corner, and he sold as injured for a long time. And eventually the Battle Royal came down to Ted DiBiase and Rey Mysterio. And when it came down to those two, they had a fantastic exchange. Great match. Almost makes me wish that one of them had been traded so that they could continue their feud because they had a great exchange here. But eventually, DiBiase won. And so Santino popped back up and suddenly celebrated with DiBiase, pointing out that they were on the same team, and so therefore Santino's a winner, and on and on and on. So DiBiase hit him with the Dream Street and knocked him out. So they now announced that Raw was getting three draft picks. First pick was John Morrison. Next up, they called out R-Truth. So I don't know if they're planning on having those two work as a tag team or not, but of course the two of them hugged and high-fived and everything else to show that they are still buddies. And then Edge was the third pick, which was a big deal. People popped at that one. That was one that, people didn't really expect. Go to commercial, come back. You had Chris Jericho limp down to the ring. He said that Edge had tried to finish his career. Edge tried to break his ankle, and therefore he wanted Edge kicked out, suspended, fined, whatever. But he said Edge should pay some sort of consequence for what he had done to Jericho. He also wanted to call out Heath Slater. He said that he had lost to Heath Slater on a fluke on NXT, and Heath Slater owed him an apology because that loss threw Jericho off his game, which is why he lost the cage match at the pay-per-view. So he called out Heath. Heath Slater came down, and Heath just basically said that he was sorry that Jericho couldn't beat him. He was sorry that Jericho couldn't beat Edge in the cage, and he's sorry that he would not be able to beat his pro Christian, which then, of course, brought Christian out. And so they went for another draft pick. So it was Christian versus Jericho. And the two of them had, this was a fun match. Again, a fun match. There were a couple of really neat spots. There was one spot where Christian went for a drop kick and Jericho grabbed it, turned it into the Walls of Jericho, which we've seen before, no big deal. But, you know, that was kind of neat to see. They then also had Christian at one point go off the top rope and dove off, but instead was caught and turned into a code breaker. And that's what got the pin. So Jericho's code breaker, besides being a great, you know, move on its own, it's one of those moves that it came out, it was instantly over, and it's one of those, like the RKO, like the stunner, where it can come out of nowhere, and it's a pretty good finish to a match. They've done a couple big things with it. Edge going for the spear, having it turn into the Codebreaker. This with Christian off the top rope going to the Codebreaker. They had Jericho and Edge off the top ropes in the cage into the Codebreaker. I'm loving that move. It's just a great, great move that they came up with. But so he pinned Christian and got the draft pick for SmackDown. Heath Slater came in to check on Christian, and so Jericho kicked him, picked him up, hit him with the Codebreaker. And Kofi Kingston ended up being drafted to SmackDown, which is a good move for Kofi. Get him as far away from Orton as possible. And on the other hand, all the big names basically have left. You know, Edge, Christian, Undertaker is a non-entity for the most part, you know, just gone. And so Kofi is going to be in a position where he's going to be able to shine a little bit more. They're going to have to push him in order to have somebody to push. So that was interesting. So, of course, Kofi ran down and hit Jericho with the Trouble in Paradise. So probably planting in your head the possibility of there being Jericho versus Kingston as an ongoing feud on SmackDown, which of course they, you know, they ruined that later, but kind of played up that there for a moment. They had Jack Swagger versus John Morrison. This was a rematch of a rematch. Jack Swagger this time was able to beat John Morrison. And, you know, Morrison, I've said before that I don't understand what's going on with Jack Swagger. They had him lose. Granted, he was against The Undertaker when he lost the first time leading up to the pay-per-view, but you know, it could have been a DQ, could have been whatever. Then they had him lose to John Morrison, which didn't make a whole lot of sense. So they had to have a rematch here, and of course Swagger beat him this time. So I don't know if you're supposed to assume Swagger's getting better. He's learning. He's adapting. I don't know, you know, where exactly they're pushing with this, but they had basically Morrison going for Starship Pain, and as he flipped off the rope, Swagger jumped up, caught him, hit him with the gut-wrench suplex and or gut-wrench powerbomb, and got the pin. So this match was actually really good. These two guys wrestling looked really good, and so it's going to be interesting to see what they end up doing with Morrison on Raw, considering that Raw is usually the home of the big guys, and they have the little guys who can wrestle over on SmackDown, so taking them off of SmackDown seems a little scary, but we'll see what they end up doing with them. So they called out for another draft pick, and this time they drafted Christian. So Christian, after leaving ECW, goes to Raw for about 2 months, and then now he's leaving Raw to go to SmackDown. So I guess in a sense that's good. That's a better spot for him in the long run. It's going to make more sense for him to be on SmackDown, because again, it's where the smaller guys who can wrestle, not necessarily these big lumbering oafs, so to speak. You know, I'm trying to be nice to him, but so I guess that's good for Christian there. Let's see. They announced Wayne Brady is the host next week, so if nothing, that'll be interesting. They had Ted DiBiase do a skit. He basically walked up to R-Truth, and he basically said that he was looking for some guy to be like a confidant, to have a special relationship with, and R-Truth kind of gave him this funny look, and he goes, "I'm looking for a guy, you know, to travel with, who, you know, who can watch my back, and I'll watch his back, someone who can carry my bags." And R-Truth is like, "Carry your bags." He goes, "I get it. You're looking for a Virgil." And he goes, "No. I'm nothing like my dad." And he's like, no. "Your dad had a Virgil. You and a Virgil." And he goes, "No, that's not. Here, listen, I would pay you. You would do what I tell you to do, and I would pay you good money." And so R-Truth started to change his tune a little bit. He's like, "Oh, I kind of like money." And he's like, "Yeah, you know, this would be very lucrative," and blah 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 blah. So R-Truth goes, "Well, you know, you're hitting me with this really quick. Let me think about it." And so DiBiase is like, "Yeah, sure, no problem." And Truth immediately slaps him as hard as he possibly can across the face and said, you know, he doesn't play that. And it was a funny little spot there, especially because the slap looked so hard, so hard. Next up, they did another draft pick. This time, Hornswoggle versus Dolph Ziggler. And basically, Dolph Ziggler chased Hornswoggle around outside the ring. Hornswoggle jumped in. The referee was counting the whole time. Hornswoggle took off a shoe, threw it at Dolph Ziggler, took off his other shoe, threw it at Dolph Ziggler, took off his helmet, threw it at Dolph Ziggler. Hornswoggle, still a member of DX apparently, had all the DX gear on, and he was throwing it all at Dolph Ziggler. So Dolph didn't get back in the ring by the time there was a 10 count, so he got counted out. Hornswoggle got the draft pick. The draft pick ended up being Chris Jericho returning to Raw, and Ziggler put Hornswoggle in the sleeper hold, and I guess if you like midgets, you know, I mean, where else do you go with a Hornswoggle bit? But honestly, why would the referee still be counting when Hornswoggle is throwing clothes and fashion accessories at Dolph Ziggler on the outside? I mean, okay, he's the leprechaun member of DX who comes out wearing a World War II DX helmet. I understand that there's a certain level of realism that has to go out the window when you're talking about the guy who painted a black hole on the wall like a train tunnel, like a Looney Tunes cartoon, and ran through it, and Carlito, I believe it was, tried to chase him and crashed into the wall. I get that there's a certain amount you have to leave at the door with a Hornswoggle match, but for a draft pick in this show, he's throwing shoes at him. And anyway. So Chris Jericho, he was banished from Raw last year. He said he would never come back. Then he came back. He said he wouldn't come back. And then he came back and said he would never be on Raw again. And then he was on Raw again. And now he's drafted back to Raw. So whatever. But at least, you know, Jericho, at least this shows they're putting Jericho back into the main mix. He's going to be in there with Randy Orton, with Edge, with John Cena. So he's going to be one of those top guys again, you know, on the A show on Raw. So good for Chris Jericho on that one. All right, so go to commercial, come back, and they're beginning to announce the main event match when suddenly Batista's music hits, and he storms down to the ring, and he says he should be a number one contender, and he's not going to leave until John Cena gives him a match. And so Sheamus and Orton both came out, and they both offered to face Batista one-on-one. Basically, you know, instead of wrestling the other guy, or after I beat the other guy, I'll wrestle you, whatever. And so instead, Cena comes out, and he makes it a triple threat match. And so they had a fun little match here. It's for a match that, storyline-wise, this match doesn't make a whole lot of sense in as far as, you know, how can Batista say that, you know, he deserves a title shot? How can Sheamus say that he deserves a title shot? You know, the logic that builds up to it doesn't make any sense, except for the fact that apparently John Cena has the ability to make matches. And so therefore he made this a triple threat match. So as far as that goes, it's not the most perfect, most elegant setup. However, the match itself was actually pretty good between all three of them. And it basically ended with Batista going for the Batista bomb on Sheamus. Orton gives Batista a backbreaker. Sheamus hits the big boot. Orton hits a power slam. You know, they just did big match, big move, till finally Edge comes running down, spears Orton, and then leaves, allowing Batista to throw an arm over Orton and get the pin. So I'm not sure if this is supposed to make Edge a super heel, or if this is just supposed to be Edge messing with the main event guys because he's here, he wants to make an impact and get his shot. But if the overall plan is they want to make Edge a heel and turn Orton back into a heel, and, you know, this is going to somehow set up all of that, then fine. Whatever. But for the most part, for this show being for the draft, at the end of the night, your draft picks here again: Kelly Kelly to SmackDown, Big Show to SmackDown, John Morrison, R-Truth, Edge to Raw, Kofi to SmackDown, Christian to SmackDown, and Chris Jericho back to Raw. Those were your big changes in the draft. Now, like I said, again, they did the supplemental draft today, so they added Great Khali and Rajan Singh went from SmackDown to Raw. And it's kind of funny, because on Raw, when they were going through the SmackDown roster of who's going to randomly get drafted, Rajan Singh's face was on the list, as if he would get drafted to Raw and Great Khali would stay on SmackDown. And I'm not sure exactly how well that would work out, but I'm kind of willing to go along with it just to see what they would have planned for it. But didn't happen. Supplemental draft, Great Khali, Rajan Singh go to Raw. They had Chavo Guerrero go to SmackDown. Cody Rhodes going to SmackDown. Natalya moved to Raw. Chris Masters to SmackDown. Ezekiel Jackson, who is out with an injury right now, but he was moved to SmackDown, and now he is going to Raw. Goldust to Raw. Hornswoggle got moved to SmackDown. Figure that out. JTG, they announced, had been moved to Raw, but then came back and said that was a mistake, and that draft did not happen. And apparently, legitimately, it did not happen. It's not up on WWE.com, so JTG is staying on SmackDown. Rosa is moving to SmackDown. And the Hart Dynasty is moving to Raw. And it looked at the time like, well, Hart Dynasty, there's your last two guys. They're moving over. They're back with Natalya. But that was not the last pick, because they had one more pick. The JTG not going to Raw, you know, him staying where he's at, being announced incorrectly, whatever. So instead, you have your 11th pick of the night, which is your technical 10. And that is MVP is moving back to SmackDown. Really, where he belongs. Because MVP needs to be away from the Triple H's and the Sheamus's and all those big-type guys. MVP can easily be in the mix with Christian and John Morrison and those type guys. Of course, John Morrison moved to Raw, didn't he? So they kind of screwed that one over. But anyway, MVP, I'm hoping they turn MVP back to heel because that works best for him. And being on SmackDown will give him an ability to shine. So, you know, if they do MVP versus Christian as your number one contender feud on SmackDown, I'll be perfectly happy. I'll be perfectly happy with that. Here's the other thing, though. I want to ask you, if you're listening to this and you can answer this question for me, the supplemental draft. Okay, so they have the draft on Raw on Monday night. And you believe that these guys wrestle matches, a brand gets a win, so therefore they spin the wheel, they get this random guy assigned, leaving one show, coming to the other show. Fine. Okay? Explain to me how the supplemental draft works. There's no general manager on Raw, and they do have a general manager on SmackDown, but are you telling me that Teddy Long is saying, the Hart Dynasty, they can go? They're the new Unified Tag Team Champions. They just won the belts last night. I'm going to let them get traded. I mean, how does this process work, this supplemental draft? Are they having untelevised matches? Are we supposed to believe that they're having, 10 matches in an empty arena to figure out who wins next? Is there some sort of point system where they're allowed to make picks? And if so, why would Raw decide they want the Great Khali? First pick. Our first pick is Great Khali. Who's your first pick? Oh, Chavo Guerrero. You know, how are these picks being made? And again, these are not, the way these were released, you had a guy going to Raw, and then going to SmackDown, then going to SmackDown, then to Raw, then to SmackDown, then to Raw, then to Raw, then to SmackDown, then to SmackDown, then to Raw, then to SmackDown. It wasn't like it went back and forth. It wasn't like a Raw pick and a SmackDown pick and then a Raw pick and a SmackDown pick. Because why wouldn't, if you're SmackDown, why wouldn't you just say, we want John Cena? And if you're Raw, why wouldn't you go, we'll take The Undertaker? You know, what are we supposed to believe is going on for this? Maybe Linda and Vince are having arm wrestling matches in the boardroom and then they randomly pull a name out of a hat. I don't know. But I wish they would at least try to put some type of storyline out there to explain it. I mean, am I the only person who cares? Maybe I am. But I don't know. If you've got your own theory as to how this is supposed to be working, let me know. Just pick up your phone, dial 1-217-953-4025. Let me know how they're doing the supplemental draft. If you're on Skype, just look up username DirtMound. Or you can send me an email. You can send it to dirt@popculturenetwork.com. Or stop by our forums. Stop by our pro wrestling forum and just start a thread. Let me know how you think this works. But this supplemental draft just makes zero sense. All right, guys, we're almost to the hour mark, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up for tonight, but I want to thank you all for listening. Don't forget, we'll be back on Friday with your spoilerific preview of Friday Night SmackDown. And as always, if something big happens, if John Cena eats a shrimp and his head explodes, we'll do a special podcast. But otherwise, we'll see you guys again on Friday. Yeah!